Melech Olam Shakol Niyib Dvero. Shalom. Okay, so we have a fascinating Gemara. I want to just do a piece with you together. For some of you, be Chazara perhaps. There's a piece in Rav Dessler, which is, I mean, it's dangerous to do this because, and I was debating, I was really going to do a different, whole different discussion, but there's two ways I can answer why I'm not doing it. The first one I would say is because it's very deep and I don't know if we want to get into it or not, and the second one is I really am not prepared for it at all because I didn't look into it at all. But we're going to do this Rav Dessler piece, which is, I think it's still in, there are parts in the world where it's still Hanukkah. It doesn't have to be related to Hanukkah, but it does relate a little bit to Hanukkah. Comes along Rav Dessler and he says it's been found in Michtav Eliyahu in the second Chelik in Beis, page 117. I mean, there's others as well, but I'm going to start from that area. And he says the following, based up the Gemara, which is found in Erevin, I believe it is, on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shtei Shanim Umechsa Nechelku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. There were 2.5 years that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had a machlokas, had a debate. And this is a very famous Gemara, very fascinating Gemara, and it's quite strange if you ever stop to think about like what was taking so long to figure this out and what exactly were the tzaddim. But it says that there Beis Shammai Beis Hillel fought for 2.5 years over the following statement: Halalu Omrim Noach Lo LaAdam Shelo Nivro Yosem Mishenivro VaHalalu Omrim Noach LaAdam Shenivro Yosem Mishalonivro. Without getting into the whole discussion of the lashon itself of Noach, meaning literal definition of the word Noach means pleasant, comfortable, right? So you say, what does that mean? It's loosely translated generally as it would have been better or not would have, either would have been better or wouldn't have been better. And that's the discussion. Would it, if I could go loose on this, because again, there's all discussion about what this means exactly, but let's say it would have been better for a person not to have been created rather than been created, or it would have been better for a person to have been created rather than not been created. So what's better? What's better? So you have a lot of different people, the way that they go and see the world. And Nimnu v'Gomer, the Gemara says, what? Beis Shammai was of the opinion that it would have been better, or Noach, that a person would not have been created than to have been created. Beis Hillel comes along and says, it would have been better for a person to have been created, or Noach, to have been created than not to have been created. And the Gemara ends by saying, Nimnu v'gamru, after 2.5 years of discussing this, Nimnu v'gamru, Noach lo la'adam. Now, who does not know this Gemara? If you do not know, please raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed, raise your hand. Okay, what's your name?
Maish.
Hey, Maish. So now, let's move on. Now, that's one person who doesn't know. Who else? Okay, Maish, question for you, right? Question for you is as follows. What do you think, do you know the end of the Gemara? What would you answer? It is better, Noach is better the person would have been created, or better that they not would not have been created?
Better.
That they would have been. I messed it up a little, because I said Beis Hillel, didn't I? Yeah? Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, okay, good. Right, you want to say better. That's what you want to say. All right, who else did not hear this before? Did not hear this Gemara? What's your name? And then not you blue behind you other...
Zevi.
What?
Zevi,
hit it. What would you think?
Better.
To have been created. Okay, you're going with Shammai. You're going with Hillel.
Whoever it is.
Okay, yeah, what do you say? Do you know Rabbi Mati Berger? Is that like,
what's your last name?
Oh, okay. No wonder. Yeah. Okay. Now, come on, kid. Let me tell you something. Where are you from? Both. Okay. Now, what are you? A Nazi or are you a kid? What are you? Right? Okay. Anyway, so in any event. Okay, I apologize. Moving along. Okay, so we have on the one end, I guess it depends on the day, and we should really speak about that. Okay, we should discuss it. If I can get your phone name after, if I said would like to speak with you. All right, so we have over here, now, for those who have learned the Gemara before, does anybody remember it? Those who have learned the Gemara. Anybody, yeah, what's the answer?
Better not to.
Ooh. So the Gemara ends up by saying, Nimnu v'gamru, Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. It would have been more Noach not to have been created, Yosef mishenivra, rather than to have been created. Achshav shenivra. Now, once we are here, yafashvesh b'maisav, amrlo yamashvesh b'maisav, which means that you should go ahead and, okay, this is also a discussion, because we've shown them what exactly this means, but yafashvesh b'maisav means, let's say, at least one understanding, is that do tshuva on that which you've done. And others say, amrlo yamashvesh b'maisav means from here on in, to be able to make sure to take a look. Rashi points out over there, I don't know if he's quoting exactly the Mishnah. Mishnah Perkei Avos, chapter 2, Mishnah 1 says, have a mechashiv hefseid mitzvah keneged tzcharus chayver keneged hefseida. Right, which means what? This is, by the way, is everything in life. Life is based off what's known as a cost-benefit analysis. Cost-benefit analysis means we make an evaluation. What is this going to cost me? What am I going to benefit? Now, understand, you're always doing that. Everyone is always making cost-benefit analysis in your life. Everything you do, did Rabbi Berger talk about this? Yeah, everything you do for yourself. Come on, you're a bunch of selfish kids. You know, why you want to get married? Come on, why? Yeah? Yeah? If you really love the girl, you find her a better guy, not you. Okay, anyway, so the point is, yeah, I've been in Asia a while. Anyway, so the point is, I guess I don't love my wife. But anyway, so the point, my friends, is, or myself more, if it's just clear. But understand that what happens is that we're constantly making evaluations and calculations. There's no question about that. The question is, do we have a real understanding of what's the cost and what's the benefit? That's the question. Let's say, for example, what is considered a hefsed mitzvah can get schara? What's a hefsed mitzvah? So let's say a person wants to buy a pair of tefillin. So we know a pair of tefillin, right, costs about $200-$300. If you don't know what you're talking about, and if you do, it costs money, right? It can cost a couple hundred to more than that. Yeah, and you can get more expensive. You can even get 1,000, you get 2,000, you get 3,000, you write your name in gold on the outside. And on the inside, it's puzzle, but you'll have gold. Yeah, but okay, point is, what do we got? You're going to go buy a pair of tefillin. It's going to cost you $700, $800, whatever it may be. Right? $700 is the equivalent of Israel. So you're going to go ahead and buy $800. You're going to say, wow, come on, $800. You know what I can do with that? I can light up for 8 nights of Hanukkah. Right? What were you guys? Right? So I can go ahead. I could go buy Shemen and a nice menorah. I can get such great things. Right? I know what you guys are doing this Hanukkah. Anyway, so really, what we're saying here is, people, we can do amazing things with $100. Yeah, we come along and we go spend it. Have a mechashev, hefseid mitzvah, the loss you will incur for doing a mitzvah. Kineged schara versus that which you will gain. What are you going to get by doing this mitzvah? You will lose. Let's call a spade a spade. Okay, but now let's call what we were talking about, and that's what you will lose, $800. But at the same time, what are you going to gain in its stead? What are you going to gain? So obviously, it's so much worth it. Eternity, netzach, right? And it's so again, of course, it's totally worth it to go to this thing. What is the schar of the avera? What are you going to gain by doing the avera versus what are you going to lose? What are you going to gain versus what are you going to lose? You're going to gain pleasure in whatever category it may be, right? In terms of food, in terms of physicality, in terms of whatever it may be. We're going to gain. We're going to get sleep, right? Okay, but what are you going to lose? Nitzchias, again. So if you did a real evaluation, this really wouldn't be a difficult discussion, at least intellectually. Emotionally, it would be difficult, but not intellectually. So understand, that's what it means when we say, yamashvesh b'maisav, to go ahead and take a look and evaluate and take a look and see what's worth it to do. Essentially, what the Gemara is saying is, against your will, you're born. Against your will, you die. Suck it up and live. Right? And they say, like, what are you going to do about it? So the Gemara seems to be saying such a beautiful idea. And understand, if Yisrael Salanta comes and he says, and again, this is all coming from Rav Dessler, if it makes sense. If not, then it's... So Umavar comes along with Yisrael Salanter and Or Yisrael Simchav Gimel, very famous piece. I didn't know that until I said it to someone. They go, oh, that's a very famous piece. I said, that's right. Now, let me tell you a very famous piece. At least my cousin said it was famous. And that's the following. B'vadai, kula modim, shetachlis brios adam ulitov lanu. This is not a discussion of the fact of our existence, if it's good or bad. There's no question about it's good. Hashem is kulo tov. Everything Hashem does is tov. In the Pasuk in the Torah, explicitly Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, which says that everything God does is l'tov lach. Everything is for the good. Everything is for a good. There's no question about it. Every little thing. Everything is for the good. That's not a question. However, what is the machlokas then? What were they debating? What were they fighting over? Right? Beis Hillel seems to say it would have been better to have been born than not to have been. Beis Shammai say it better not to have been than to have been. And at the end, Beis Hillel says, Taka, you know what I'm saying, Beis Shammai? All right, we'll give it to you. Yeah? We'll give it to you, which is also no discussion, right? Beis Shammai seems to have won the debate over here. It comes along, which sounds like an optimist versus a pessimist discussion over here. So we understand for sure everyone knows that it's good. So what was the machlokas? Im ha'odom yochol ahasig gamal pi cheshbon sichlo shenoach u'kedai lo shenivra. Can a person actually figure it out with their seichel that it actually is good? Everybody hear that? Can a person actually figure it out? Or do we just say, oh, shenach litzos b'derech ha'emuna? Ki machshavos habori hen amukos ve'en musagos lon. We're talking about the ad kantoch in dvarv. That is the result. Come on, understand the following. The machlokes be'shamayim be'shillel isn't, is the world good or is Hashem good or is the fact that we are good? For sure it's good. The question is, can a person come to a real understanding through seichel that it's good, or they do just have to have emunah that it's good? Now, I have to be very clear over here. When we say emunah, understand the pasuk tells us. We say, and I'm going to this pasuk particularly, not getting involved with the Rambam's Lashonus, because it's a massive, massive discussion about whether the Rambam actually said what people think he said. Frankel came out, and the idea was springing from Arabic and the translations about emunah versus yediyah, which is just a whole debacle, right? So we're not going to get into it right now. Just straight up pasuk. The pasuk says, v'yodata hayom. But if you know to say it properly, it's v'yodata hayom. And that was actually, I was in Amsterdam 2 weeks ago, before Hanukkah. And what happened? What? Giving shiurim. What were you? Anyway, so I was in Amsterdam to some random people. Anyway, so I was in about some. Anyway, so whatever. I was in Amsterdam, and I said out loud something. And the guy goes, you know, viadata is not how you actually say it. That means something else. It's actually viadata. I said, no, I didn't know. Get it? Viadata. Anyway, I didn't know. But I said, but now I do. Thank you. So we say viadata hayom vashevotan, which means that you shall know. You have to know. You understand? You have to know. Which means emuna is beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's powerful, and it's all tzaddik b'amaso yichya, and it's huge. Understand, it's huge. That's what everything boils down to. No question about it. But you also have to have a level of knowledge there. This we discussed. As if anybody who, I don't know, a fourth year or fifth year guys, you remember we saw this at the Rosh Hashiva's house when I got in big trouble for whatever could have happened there. But anyway, the point is, whatever could have did, and that was a problem. Anyway, but understand that when we go ahead, we have to know something, not just believe, because then we're stuck with every other religion. If it's just a munah, every other, the basis, the foundation, the root of the concept of what we're living with has to have some sort of knowledge there. Then, oh, we also spoke about that here at one point, another discussion we were talking about Maimed Arsin, if anyone recalls that, but again, you probably don't, so I can say it again next time. But okay, now we find understanding here that we realize that you have to know, but once we do know that there's Hashem, and we understand the fact that Hashem's Kulotov, I don't get the Cheshbon, I don't understand the Cheshbon, I don't understand what's really going on here, and through a moon I live it. So that, my friends, is the idea of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, Beis Shammai says, You just gotta have a munah with it, because there's no way you're gonna actually know. Basil says you're gonna know at the end. He says, I'm maskim to you. Now we have to understand, at the end of the day, who cares? Bless you. Who cares? What's the nafkamina? What does it make a difference? This is not my question. And again, if that's a who cares? Well, it's like Beis Shammai, it's like Basil, Mitzias, we're here. Hey, Mitzias, we're here. So, would have been better this way, would have been better that way. At the end of the day, who cares which one would have been better? Well, who cares what would have been? The reality is we are here, so we got to do something about it. And this, by the way, my friends, is one of the biggest questions that people ask a lot of times. It comes up. I don't know if it's exactly this, isn't used this lashon, but tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. Bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people. I think it was Rav Leuchter who said, when they asked, why do bad things happen to good people? And he said, well, I'm bad, and that's why bad things happen. Right? I don't know anybody else. Yeah? The point is, what does that mean? Why do bad? Most of the time, it's not really like that, but it's another discussion for a time, which I think we already discussed once here. Right? But understanding what we're saying is the following. When people have these issues and these problems, which can then derail them, because if you think, and this is going to spills it out, what is a nafgamina if you're able to understand b'derech ha-seichel, if it would have been better or not? What's a nafgamina if you could have known b'derech ha-seichel? Answer is, the nafgamina is in the way, in the darkei avoda, in the way that we go ahead, and we now go ahead and want to try to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and try to go ahead and direct our lives. Because we know that the Yetzirah, one of the greatest things that he comes to go to destroy a person, is with the concept of Yiyush. I was learning this piece with two people individually, and each one said right away when we got to this part, sounds like Rabbi Nachman. And the next line is, this is Vezeh Lo Rabbi Nachman. It doesn't really say that. That would be awesome, though. That would be say it would be. No, it doesn't say that. Okay. And anyway, that's Yiyush Beleva Adam. The way to destroy a person is through Yiyush, to have them despair, to feel despondent, to feel down, and to feel lost. That's the way to go and do such a thing. Lemo Shebaru Shelo Yatzliach. A person will certainly not succeed if they're in a state of Yiyush. And listen to the way he uses this lashon. Umi Memilione Bnei Adam Hitzliach Beruchnias. I mean, let's be real for a second. Did we ever discuss Rabbi Akiva? Did we discuss that again? I don't know. Anyway, so question is, I mean, how many of the millionim that have been around have actually been successful, right, in anything, let alone getting to the depths of the amkus of understanding and the flows of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works? How many people actually succeed in such a thing? Most people go ahead and actually go ahead and fail at this. And the machlokas is, how do you fight against the Yetzirah? Beis Hillel, who's Midas Chesed, is Pashtus, comes along and he says, every person can succeed. Right? Can succeed. Right? We all know the phrase, where there's a will, there are kids fighting over it. And we know that the concept of what that is that we've said, we've discussed, and saying, where there's a will, there's a way. Rav Dessler, Rav Volbi comes in, he speaks that over there, which is a big Talmud also for those who learn. He says, Ein Dover Omid Bifnei Aratzon, which happens not to be a chazal anywhere. And it's not wrong, it's true that Ein, we used to add some words, Ein Dover Omid Bifnei Aratzon, Hashem. Anything Hashem wants will work, right? Bless you again, twice. But a person who goes ahead and says that nothing stands in the way of what you want, it's not necessarily true. You could try it, you could want many things. That doesn't mean you're going to succeed. However, the way the Beis Hillel looks at it is that every person can. I think I can, right? I don't know, whatever. Thomas the Engine, nobody read the sequel, it broke down and fell down the mountain, but understand at least the first book sold, right? Right, the little engine could, right? So now, because over this pastures, when the way that goes, we build, it goes, me'akala l'kavid, efshalatzlich, you can build, you can grow. And you know what? When you're working on things in life, sometimes you go and you're not able to succeed at something, even something simple. But then you learn how to do it and you succeed and you think to yourself, wow, he was able to succeed, have an understanding, a reality, a realization of how these things work, and the next day I come up with something more difficult, I'm not bothered, because just like the Kala was able to figure out me'a kavod, I'll be able to figure that also. Give it some time, I'll be able to work myself through and be able to grow. And by every little point that a person comes to with siyata d'shmaya, rabba v'neflam, oh, the person is able to go ahead and fight against the sakana of yish through the idea of being nisbonin with their seichel, that you're able to go ahead and be maseich and avodas Hashem. That, my friends, is noch lo shenivra. That is Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel saying that a person is able to use his seichel to work out and recognize and see, oh, things look challenging, oh, things look difficult, oh, things are challenging and difficult, understand that we can work it out and understand why and try to figure it through and be able to grow. Beis Shammai, who's a Midas Hadin, who's as he puts there, because Chada Amam Etes says Erech Kol Maisia Adam. He says Lafia is Vanaso Rachok Ma'od Shaslech Adam Avar Sof. Come on, what are the chances of you actually succeeding? What are the chances? Yeah, you're going to fail. What are the chances of you succeeding? Now, understand something. Understand, not to go and be depressed. His goal is not, again, to have a person be in a state of yish. That would totally defeat the purpose of the whole machlokas here. There was a guy, I don't remember if I told you this story or not. There was a fellow who came to Eish HaTorah. This is one of my first days in Eish. And this guy came in, he had, you know, the whole that you would expect of, like, you know, the guy to come in, you know. He's got, like, the long hair, save the animals, and small print, but kill people. And it was like this, didn't really have the save the animal part, but it did have, I'm just kidding. He said save the animals, and, like, in the back it was, like, whatever, and shorts. And the guy never saw Gemara in his life. And the guy came in, and he only told me years later that was the first time he ever saw Gemara. He never saw one of these things in his life. Matter of fact, just totally not related, I was in England about a month ago, and there was a guy who was, okay, the world is a little bit, seems to be a little bit crazy right now, right? The truth is, any generation you can say that, but now you can seriously say that, yeah? It's like a little bit messed up. And you know, it's Europe, right? Anyone from England? Okay, yeah. So it was a horrible experience, and I want to... I'm saying... Anyway, so not being there was a horrible experience for me, but thank God I got there, and it was really wonderful from that point. But I'll share with you that one of the things was there. My wife was very nervous. You know, you're traveling. I was pretty much all over the country. I was in London, and I was in Hendon, and I was in Golders Green. I was all over the country, and basically, you know, for your English friend. No, but I was in Leeds, and I was in Bristol, and I was in Birmingham, and I was in, Staffordshire. I was literally, for those who know what I'm talking about, right? So you know, I was all over the place. And I was traveling a lot. I was on trains or whatever it is. I was having a lot of fun. When you're on trains, you get... Anyway, so bottom line is some guy. I'm learning Gemara. My wife was a little nervous. She wanted me to wear like this hat. Not like this hat, a hat. not a black, not like this. You know, like a regular... Exactly, you know, the Yankee one, you know, like the pay sticking out, you know what I'm saying, like at Action Park, you know what I mean, they're like, Sir Malachim, we are waiting for a ride, you know, are you Jewish, what do you talk about, you want to go, you want to, you know, mach something, you know, like, what's Jewish, you know, I don't know Jewish, anyway, so, boy, this way, like, it happened to be freezing. everything then. It was actually very, very cold when I was there a month ago. Very, very cold. And I was learning Gemara, so I guess blew my cover a little, you know. So I'm like learning, I'm on the phone with my chavrusa, and I'm just pretty much doing sota. And I was like, I think you have to read this part, you know, No, it was a part of Karbanos, when you give them or not, what were you... Anyway, so the point is that this guy comes over to me afterwards. He's like, excuse me, sir. He comes running over to me. He's like, what is that? I said, what, you know? And he says, and he points to the Gemara. He goes, the text, it was so unusual. What is that? I'd never seen such a text. And I said to him, you know, the structure and the format, this guy seemed to be a little artsy. I said, this is, it's you know... How do you feel about Jews first? You know, just out of curiosity. I don't know, and Christians and Muslims, just to throw it out there, just, you know, not to be too obvious, you know. So I said, how do you feel about that? I didn't really ask him that, but I said, it's called the Talmud. I couldn't believe it. The guy had never heard of that before. I run a meeting with a lot of secular people, a lot of non-Jews even, they've heard of the idea of Talmud. Like, I never heard of it. He was fascinated by the idea. This is comes to mind with this guy who comes to Isha Torah. He never saw Gemara in his life. And this guy never saw Gemara in his life. He goes ahead, by the way, we're done with that story. And he's never done it. People are like, so what happened, right? Nothing. He walked away. He wasn't Jewish. No. Yeah, maybe he was Taka. You know, I should have, you know what? Nebuch. All right, so anyway, you guys, all you English people will find him. He was about 5'8". It was in Bristol, I think. Good luck. So anyway, so I go ahead and this guy, you know, years later, he told me that now the guy's married. He's learning in Kollel. He's it's an amazing thing. He's a Ben Torah. And I said to him, I go over to him, like, hey, how's it going? Like, how are things going for you? And he's like, yeah, you know, it's okay. It's a little bit challenging, but it's okay. I said, what's the challenge? What do you mean? He said, I mean, let's just face it, you know. What are the chances of me actually being something very big? You know, look at my background. You know, I came here when I was already late 20s, I think 28, 29. And now 34, 35, 36. I'm like, what are my chances of being something big? I said, what are you talking about? Why are you saying that? And he said to me, well, I mean, I met a guy, you know, who, one of the guys in Yeshiva, and he said to me, he's like, you know, we were learning, he's like, you know, you're doing good, but, you know, you should just realize, like, all right, you'll do good in learning, but you're really never going to be like a gadol, right, because you started very late, and you're about tshuva, and whatever, and this guy bought it, and I said, who in the world, like, what? Like, who said such a thing? I mean, don't tell me. Maybe tell me. I don't know. Right? I would give him Drisha Shalom or Daesh, I think they call it. Right? And that's what he said. This guy should be shot. Like, what do you mean? A person has the ability to be able to get to be the highest of the high. No question. But the Lashon which is used over here is like, come on, what are the chances? Very rachuk that you're actually going to be matzliach in your avoda. And what that means is not that you can't be matzliach in avoda. Of course, a person can go ahead and reach the highest of heights in terms of a vote to be able to be very big and huge, but in terms of getting a clarity of understanding of every detail in life and why it's happening and the purpose, etc., it seems not like that. So when someone comes with this depressed feeling, at times we should discuss this, but someone who comes with that feeling, depending on the day, they're like, what's this life for? And like, I don't even get it, and it just doesn't make any sense. Like, this is so difficult. The response to you is like, yeah, you're right. That's the Gemara. It doesn't make sense. Does that make you feel better? What do you think? Does it make you feel better? Does it make you feel better? Think about it now. Think about it now. You're trying to understand the depth and why things happen and whatever. Now, if you were told you could understand it, just you're not getting it, how does that make you feel? But what if I told you that you're not going to understand the depths. You won't. This is what la halacha, seemingly, in terms of hashkafa. Hashkafik, halachically, we come out to say, nimnu v'gamru mutid noach lo shalom nifra. It would have been better not to have been. So a person who comes with that feeling of like, it's so hard, I just don't get it. The answer is, that makes sense that you don't get it. It's okay that you don't get it. It's like that joke, which doesn't make any sense, but some of you are still going to feel left out in this joke. Right, there were two elephants in a bathtub, right? And one said to the next, pass the, what is it? Pass the soap. And the other one goes, no soap radio. You guys know, right? So for those who haven't heard that joke and you don't get it, good. You're not supposed to get it. It doesn't mean anything. And you feel like, oh no, I feel so bad, I don't get it. It doesn't mean anything. I know some of you are like, serious? Like, because I never, right? Like, you laughed along, I know what's going on. If you recognize that really doesn't mean anything, and it's okay that you're not getting it, it makes sense not to get it. That's a feeling of like, oh, okay, now I can move on. And Acha Ion Rav Gamru Hillel said, ah, this must be the Derech Nechona that a person should awaken himself and understand. Dafka Beglal Zeh Asakana Rabba Maod Muchachu Lischazek B'Sheus Kol Chosav Uladaktik Maod B'Chol Ma'isav Kedil Hatzel Kol Ma'ashayuchal. And this is where it comes to the following idea, which says Nimdu V'Gamru Achshav Shenivra Yefashe Shemaisav. Now that you recognize the fact, you're not going to get the whole thing, but look into your actions, understand what you've done in the past, take a look what you're going to do in the future. Nimsa Derech Hayechida. And this, my friends, now comes the kicker. This is the biggest line. This is huge, and this will take us, God willing, through. I love when people talk about it. We're starting now the Wintersman, right? In Yiddish, it's the Wintersman. And we go out, we start this, and everyone, almost every yeshiva gets up and goes, okay, everyone, it's going to be long and hard and dark and difficult, and it's going to be really hard, but let's start, right? And everyone's like, oh, long and hard and difficult. I love Torah, right? Like, the whole thing is like messed up the way you go into a sugya like that. It's like, we definitely spoke about this because I have a flashback now of what am I going to say, which daf and what mesechta. We definitely spoke about this. Makos Daf Gimel. Remember that? No. Makos Daf Gimel. There's a little Gemara there. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anyone? Oh, there's something called the Masechta. Now, one of them is called Makos. Right? Lashes. It's a lovely beginning that you start when you start to learn. You start with, we will beat you. And essentially, there's a Gemara in Daf Gimel, which goes to a very small Gemara, and pretty much every Rebbe before they teach it go like this. Guys, this Gemara is unbelievably difficult. It is really hard. It's very hard to understand. Let's start. Right? And then you just get depressed, right? That's not the way it works. When I taught the Gemara to my guys, I don't remember anymore, but when I taught it at the time, I said to the guys, I said, guys, we're about to hit a Gemara. They're like, yeah. I'm like, this Gemara is, look at it, it's small. This is a piece of cake. Like, don't worry. How many of you have heard a long Tosfos is easier, a hard Tosfos is very difficult? Isn't that great chinuch? Right? Because what happens is now you go in, you see a small Tosfos, you're like, ah, let's just go to a long one. Right? And you're like, ah, it's too long anyway. Forget Tosfos. Right? Let me just move on. You're like, I'll just do Rashi. Well, you know, I don't even know what's Rashi anyway. You know what I mean? It's Nedarim. You know what I mean? Let's just do another Mesechta. I don't even know another Mesechta, Rashbam. I don't know they're related. You know, let's just learn Chumash. You know what I'm saying? Let's just do Chumash with Rashi. It's Rashi. Is that Rashi and Chumash also? Anyway, so we don't understand, people. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not challenging. Understand, yes, you have to work. You have to work like everything in Torah, which, by the way, which was meant to be, the purpose of this year was to talk about that idea. So maybe we'll do that another time. But in any event, understand over here, comes on your destiny, says the following. The way we go and we live our lives and the way that we go to have the Ashkafas HaChaim we need to be having in terms of our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and getting closer is Ein Breira. We have no choice. Now, don't get caught up in the idea, like the Gemara says. We know the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin many things, but one that will come to me, hopefully. That was awesome. Did someone just do that? Did someone just do that? That was awesome. That sounded like the cricket. Like a, says the Gemara Kiddushin, it is greater when who's commanded to do something and does it than someone who's not commanded to do something and does it. Like Tosus brings up, but don't worry, it's a long Tosus. Tosus says it's really a small Tosus, but it's like a long one. Tosus comes along and tells us over there, two pshat, one that we can deal with right now, is that somebody who's commanded to do something and does it, if someone's commanded to do something and does it, we naturally fight against it. Therefore, we become a greater Gadol, we grow more, we become greater people. Mitzuva Vyosa, someone's commanded to do it and not commanded to do, we have that natural connection against it. The way we need to be living our lives is the concept of what? Ein Breira. We have no choice. Recognize the fact that we are here. We exist. And now we got to get cracking lacking. And when the HR comes knocking on your door, we have to recognize the way we're going to beat them is by saying, sorry, nothing doing. I got no choice. I got to push through this. Ein Breira. There's nothing to talk about. When a person lives their life with the mentality, with the metzias of Ein Breira, and they don't look at it through Seichel. We're not saying not to have seichel, but we're meant to say that the avod is not meant to be done through seichel. It's meant to be done through the fact that I have a muna that this is a correct understanding. We get a basic understanding of what's the correct way, even a little bit deeper than that. And then we live because this is what we got to do. You wake up in the morning, you're not in the mood to learn. Ein breira, there's nothing to talk about. There's no choice. Avram Avinu, how did he live? And Rav Dessa brings that so beautifully here. The Avram Avinu goes ahead and he's asked to be thrown into the Kivshan Aish. What do they say? What should Avram Avinu have said? Think about it for a moment. What happened with Avram Avinu? We had 10 generations coming up until Avram Abraham Avinu, and he took the ore of everybody, the ore of Chanukah, he took the ore of everything. And what happens now? He's teaching Emunah to the world, and now he gets stuck in a little bind where he comes along and they're going to throw him into a fire. They throw him to Kibshon Eish. Now listen to the options. Agree to Nimrod and perhaps be involved in Avodah Zarah and live, but be able to continue your teachings of Emunah to the world, or die and everything seemingly will die with you. Does everybody get that? Avraham Avinu is the one that was changing the world and everyone will die with you. And what does Avraham Avinu choose? What does he say? What does Avraham Avinu say? What would you think? Could you hear the cheshbon? Does everyone hear the cheshbon? It could make a cheshbon. A cheshbonus. It could be like this, like that. Avraham Avinu says the following. I got no choice, ain't Breira. Even though maybe sickly is think I should say that perhaps I do this, that, and the other. No choice. Bottom line is if that's what I got to do, if I got to live with a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a way that it's going to end up that way I see the world, the way I see it is the moon is going to end as it is. I'm stuck. I got to do that. Allow myself to go ahead and be thrown into fire and it will end. And what happened because of that? Avraham Avinu went in without the seichel of the cheshbon. He went in with the concept, again, don't look at me, Rav Dessa. He goes in with the idea of understanding, ein breira. I have no choice. I'm going to go into the fire, and that's what I got to do. And what happened? He thought he was going to die. Since he thought he's going to die, he lives. What does Haran do? How does Haran work? Emunah or seichel? Seichel. He looks at Avraham and he goes, wow, must be, this is what you do. Sichlius. He goes in thinking he's going to live and he dies. The moral of the story is you should always think you're going. No, so what we're saying is to have this mentality, beautiful, realize the fact that we don't know what's going to be. We have to go into the concept of recognizing. Also, we know we say in Hallel. We just said it every day. For so many days, we said Hallel. It's such a beautiful tefillah. And what does he quote over here? What do we say? Kol goyim sivavuni. All the nations surround me. B'shem Hashem ki amilam. Sabuni gam sivavuni. Sivavuni kidvom dochu keish kotzim. B'shem Hashem ki amilam. Dechod dechisani nimpol. Hashem Azarani, all the different parts and places I'm being put in. What did I do? That's what I'm put in. I ain't brave. I'm going to live my life. Bishash. You're going to come chalas a kol. You see, the enemy's going to destroy everything. It's vada. You're going to fall. When a person goes in and realizes when all the cards are stacked against you, you're going to lose. Very reminiscent. A person has to understand that if you have a knife is against the neck, the person has to, at that moment, realize to say, oh, beautiful. Now we come to the recognition, I'm a Nitzach. And realize that that's it, everything is Hashem. It's not as sickly as a thing, it's just like there's nothing else. I have nowhere else to turn. And there is no other choice but to realize, look at the concept of Hashem. And we find this idea over and over again. And he goes into a lot more in depth. I want to share with you just a little bit of Tehillim, which he brings down here as well. A beautiful capital that I should know by heart, but I'm a guy, and it says like this. No, it's not a diss, it's actually unfortunate, but you take a look. I love these Tehillims, the interlinear ones. I love reading the introductions, and sometimes I actually even look in the Tehillim itself. If you look, it says like this, exile, the idea of us being in exile, it's like a long, dark, seemingly endless night. It's like winter's man. But as long as faith and trust in God are maintained, you can understand Tosos. Now let's read the Tehillim, right? Okay, no, but what it really says is, as one is faith and trust in God are maintained, one is not defeated. And listen to what David HaMelech says. Awesome! Listen to David HaMelech. I'm going to say Mizmor to David. Ad ona Hashem tishkacheni netzach. Ad ona tasteres panecha mimeni. Hashem, when are you going to forget? How long are you going to forget me eternally? Until when are you going to hide your face from me? Or if I can say the art school word, your countenance. Until when? Ad ona oshis eitzos benafshi yogin bulvavi yomam. Until when do I have to see all these eitzos within myself to yogon this negativity? I don't like reading the melancholy, because that's what I was thinking also. Melancholy is in my heart, even by the daytime. Until when will the enemy be coming against and over me? Here it comes, baby. Yogel. I was speaking with, I was saying this over in front of a bunch, it was Maidle, and I said, if I was in yeshiva now, if I was in yeshiva, we'd have a kumzis. Ashira la vashem, kigamala la voy. Ashira la vashem, kigamala la voy. Ashira la vashem, kigamala la voy. Ashira la vashem. Now listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. He says, lest my enemies boast I have overcome him, lest my tormentors with melancholy go ahead and rejoice when I falter. But listen what he says. Says David HaMelech, Im Kol Zeh, Achaket. No, this is a different song. But he says the following, a different song. It's like Yud Gimel. Anyway, so, but as for me, Yud Gimel, oh, Kapitel Yud Gimel. Anyway, so he says, but as for me, V'ani b'chastecho b'tachti, in your kindness I trust. My heart will exalt in your salvation. I will sing to Hashem, for he has dealt kindly with me. Do you realize what David HaMelech is saying here? It's such a beautiful thing. I'm stuck in the lowest of the depths here. I'm kind of stuck now. And Hashem, how long are you going to let this happen? I don't know. Until when are you going to let them just rule over me? But he says, but you know what? I'm totally fine. You know why? Yogeli bibishua secha. I mean, just the fact that I know that you're going to save me, the fact that I know that you're going to be there for me, that in and of itself is a shira l'Hashem ki gamal alai. I'm totally fine. I know you're going to take care of me. Someone told me a story, such a sad story. His name is, and he said the following. I was learning with him on Shabbos. We were going through this piece. Blanking on his first name. His last name is Bertman. If anyone knows who that is, or Bertman's son. So, I mean, now it will be a Bertman's father one day, hopefully one day. So, so everyone said to me such a sad story. He said that in World War II, when the Nazis, were coming around, and, you know, people were being crushed, there was one fellow who said, when did I break? When did I break? I stayed strong. When did I break? When I saw the Americans coming. That's when I broke. Saw the Americans coming, that's when he broke. He said, I'll tell you why. It was such a terrible situation. We were in the lowest of the low that I said to myself, I know. There is no question in my mind, Mashiach's coming. When I saw the Americans, that's when I broke, because I realized it's not happening. Just the thought, though, of the fact that Mashiach is going to be, even if not, that's the concept we've spoke many, a bunch of years ago already, about the Gemara in Laman, the Gemara that says, Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph, I believe it is in Shabbos, in the bottom of there, Vashash Adam Machnis and Ladin, they're going to be asking the question, one of them is, Sipitzu Yeshua, did you await salvation? Did you await salvation? Just the waiting for the fact that we're going to be saved is enough to be able to put us in a mindset where we're good. I'll give you an example. I saw a beautiful little video that somebody sent me, not on my internet. I'm saying I was using my wife's. And what happened was that I saw this, someone sent me a clip. It was a fellow by the name of Rabbi Stephen Bars, a rabbi in Washington, D.C. He sent it was very interesting. I don't need to tell you my feelings, but I, you know, once I have a group, I'll tell you that the truth is I really didn't like it at first. It didn't sit well with me. But afterwards, I thought about it, and I thought it was so beautiful. I want you to think of something that you want, anything at all. Doesn't matter. Anything that you want. Does anyone have something that they want, that they don't have now? Something that they want, that they're interested in, that they may even need, that they don't have. Anyone? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Don't worry. Yeah? Okay. You got something? Okay. You don't have it, but you want it. Imagine I were to tell you. You don't have to imagine. I'll tell you. But I'm not really... Yeah. That's lacha. Anyone else? Now, imagine I were to tell you that tomorrow you're going to get it. Whatever it is that you wanted, tomorrow you're going to get it. How would you feel now? You feel pretty good. So I guess you don't really want it. Anyone here actually wants something, right? How would you feel if I told you you're getting it tomorrow? How would you feel? You feel awesome. You feel great. What does that show you? that you don't really need the thing in order to feel the joy and the happiness and the simcha. The simcha is not even the chefza itself. It's just the fact that you know or think that you are going to get it. That in and of itself is when a person goes ahead and they're able to live with it. Understand that this concept is what? The happy thought of the tomorrow that gives a person the thought of right now being able to survive with this idea. Living with this concept a little bit further, realizing and recognizing the concept of living a life, says David HaMelech, I'm stuck. Seichel dictates, I'm going down. This whole look, my enemies are against me. It doesn't make any sense. But manaseh ein breira, weiter. Shira la Hashem ki gomal alay. I know you're going to take care of me because everything is good. Everything is good. It's going to be taken care of. I don't get it, but I'm going to go fight there anyway. I'm not going to stop. This, my friend, can save a person from the absolute depths of yish, where a person's feeling things are going so bad in their life. Things aren't going well with them. God forbid we shouldn't know any tzaras. Amen. But if a person does know any tzaras, chas v'shalom, we don't ask for nisyonos, but we ask if we have any nisyonos, we should be able to overcome the nisyonos. We should be able to deal with them and live with them and recognize what they're for. But if I can't understand, because that's what Beis Shammai Beis Hillel we're talking about. Even Beis Hillel was maskim to say that's the way that we go with. And the way we go with is we say Ein Breira, so we live our life based off this concept. Let's take it a step further, if I will, if I can. Understand, what does that mean to live a life? To live a life of Ein Breira, if I have no choice, that I got to do something, I got to take care of something, I got to be able to live with this idea. I'll tell you, and this is what I was debating, we were discussing before, and out of Hanan and I before, and some others, about whether I spoke, I don't remember enough, but again, a little chazara. We're reading out of the Parshas. We know the parashas of Yosef HaTzadik, and we understand that what happens with Yosef HaTzadik, that coming up in a couple of parashas, in parashas Vayichi, that Yaakov calls Yosef and he says to him, I'm dying. He says, no. He says, yes. He says, okay. He says, I want you to swear to me something. Sim liyodcha tachas yirechi, and go and swear to me. And swear to me that what that you're I'll not take bereini b'mitzrayim. You're not going to bury me in Mitzrayim. So he says to him, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he says, swear to me. Now that's a bit of a pillow. Yosef HaTzadik, there are very few people that have Tzadik in their name, except for every kid when you're little. When you get older, they want to change it to a different name. But it starts like Tzadikal. Then they get to know you a little. But understand that what it means, it says, Yosef HaTzadik, he says, I'll do it. He says, I'll do it. And then he goes, swear to me. Come on. If Yosef said he'll do it, what are you causing? What are you doing? So we know the Gemara, famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Sota, I think some of them are based. The Gemara that tells us that what ends up happening is that when it's on the bottom of the daf. Someone give me a Sota. Maybe help me. Give me a Sota. If there's no Sota, I'll just take the Gemara. Okay, so thank you. I got it. Okay, so the Gemara in Sota says that it's a very famous. Shlomo Avraham Ben Beis is a story. The Yosef and Eishes Poti final. It's like ani v'chas tucha v'tuch. It's a Gemara in Sota, and the Gemara says that what happens is that when Yosef at Tzadik goes to meet Paro, that this was right here. When he goes to meet Paro, he goes ahead and Ein Breira. Well done. Beautiful. Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Look at that. Or is it? You know. So it says here the Gemara says an amazing thing. Tana Rabbanan. No. So what happens is that Yosef comes to meet Paro. Yosef comes to me, Paro, and when he comes to me, Paro, right, we're talking about these parashas right now. When he comes to me, Paro, he comes up and he comes and speaks to him in every language, right? We know he says, Amr Avchir bar Abraham of Yochanan, B'shosh Amr lo Paro li Yosef, Ubiladech li Yorim Yishal Yado, Amr Itztiganine Paro, Eved Shalokhu Rabo, Be'esim Kesef. You're going to go in Tamshilu. This, you took this Eved, this servant, for 20 shekel. He's going to be ruling over us. I see that there's some little bit of royalty in him. So if that would be the case, then he must know all 70 languages. So what happens is Gemara Ba Gavriel. whatever. Vilimdo shivim lashon, and he taught Yosef the 70 lashonos, all the different languages. Loava kagamor. What happened was he wasn't able to get it. He wasn't being tofes. So what they do? Hosef lo os achas mishmo shel kodesh baruch hu. They gave Yosef an extra letter from the name of Hashem. Anyone know what was that letter? What was Yosef's name? We say in Tehillim once a week at least. Good, be Hosef, right? What happens? We add one letter. Mishmosha Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'lamad, and you learned it. Shenemer Eidos. Be Hosef. What happened? The next day, what happens? Paro comes to him and he sees him and he's like, all right, if my guys, it's like, you need to speak up. I got to do this. So he's like, what's up? He's like, cool. He goes, niaw. He's like, niaw ma. Like, como está? Muy bien. Como está va? Está bien. Says to him in Arabic, like we've discussed. He says, and they go through all the, good morning, good morning. And they go through the whole thing. So finally, what happens? He finishes, and Yosef turns to him and he goes, Shalom Aleichem. Paro goes, Vos? And he's like, oh. He's like, ah, looks like you don't know some languages here. What you got now? Lova kayada mayavi omer. You don't know what he was saying. Paro had no clue what he was saying. So what happens? Amarle, Agmari, teach me. I need to know this language. Agmari. So Yosef taught Paro Loshan HaKodesh. What ended up happening? He couldn't get it. Velo Gamar, he wasn't able to get it. So they add, no, they didn't do anything. Amarlei, Ishtabali, the Lomigalth, you're not going to tell anyone. Swear to me that you're not going to tell anyone that I don't know the language. So he swore to him. And what happens next? Why is it that Yaakov goes ahead? And why does he say to him, swear to him? So we know, very famously, Rashi brings it down. We should all know this. He says, this is the Gemara, Lama Vav of the base. What he says, very simply, when Yosef goes to bury Yaakov, he goes to Paro. And he says to Paro, my father died. I need to go bury him. He's like, sorry, man, you can't go. You are running the show here. You can't leave. He's like, but I swore to him. What should I do? I swore to him. He goes, break your swear. He's like, oh, you wanna like play that little breaking swear game? All right, we can break swears, no problem. I'll break my swear. You want me to break my swear, Paro, Cain, Tarotse, Shani Osete, Vos? You want me to break it? You want me to break it? He's like, all right, fine. So what does he say? Don't do it. Go bury your father. Like you swore. The only reason I'm letting you go is because you swore, and now I'm stuck. Okay, that's one pshat. And that's the Gemara. That's Rashi. All right, that's pshat. Comes along, the Bali Musar. I heard this from one of my bear when I was in Yerushalayim of Kenigsberg, and he says such a beautiful idea. He says, what's the concept? The person has to go and recognize the idea. It goes like Yosef at Tzaddik. What does he do? What does a person need to do? There's no choice. I'm stuck. I got to do it. I got to do this. He comes along and he makes him swear to him. Why? He goes to Paro. Paro says to him, you got to go, I got to go bury, he says, Paro, I got to go bury my father. Paro says back, you can't go. If he had not swore, and he just would have said, Dad, I'll bury you outside of Mitzrayim, I'll bury you in Eretz Yisrael, if that's all he would have done, and he would have came to Paro, what if Paro said, you can't go, and Yosef would have said, okay, what can I do? I tried. And since I tried, and that's I think we would all agree, that's valid. He actually went out of his way. He took his father, he brought him to the thing, got all the stamps, went into the thing. Paro's like, you can't go. He's like, what can I do? I tried. But if he swears, then when Paro says to him, you can't go, he says, Paro, with or without you, man. I'm sorry, I made a swear. Nothing I could do. When you make a swear, you got to do it. And this is when Rebbe went on to explain that a person has to make a swear that they are going to be involved in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make a shvua, that they are going to be involved in Limud HaTorah B'li Neder. But this is the Gemara in the Dharma I wanted to get into. The Gemara in the Dharma tells us that it's not even so. You're allowed to make a shvua when it comes, at least a neder, when it's shvua, I believe it talks about, when it goes ahead and a person is really, when it comes to the idea of Limud HaTorah. It says a person goes, I want to learn a mesechta, learn another mesechta. That is something which would be mizari as a person to be able to do such a thing. That's what a person is allowed to. I'm not paskening, I'm just talking what the Gemara says. You take a look yourselves. But understand that this is a way that we have to live our lives, with the concept of ein breira. We don't have a choice. There's nothing that we're able to do with it. We have to go along with it and understand that this is what we're going to do no matter what. And this, my friends, comes along. This comes along with Dessler, and I'm just going to end with this one little piece, and then we'll do this recap and end with the last idea. He comes along with Dessler, and he says, this is a sod of the Nes of Chanukah. This is a sod of the Nes of Chanukah. You know how it works. You always come up with the greatest piece after it's over. You know, it's like it's a great Dvar Torah on last week's parsha next year, right? So here we're still close, right? We're still dragging it on. Ne'ilah sachag, as they say, you know, Isru chag of Ne'ilah sachag. Zeu sodu shenes Chanukah nitzachon me'atim ala rabim oyenira kenimne b'derech hateva. Out nature, it made no sense that we were going to win this battle. They said there's nothing we could do. There's no choice. You're going to stop our limud Torah. You're going to stop our connection with Yiddishkeit. Ein breira. We got nothing to do but to fight. Who are these people? These are the Kohanim Gedol. It makes no sense. But they go and they said, what? What do we do? Mishum kach zochu l'siyata d'shmaya l'mala miderech hateva. Hey, masu neged cheshbonus haseichel. Cheshbon haseichel would say, definitely don't fight. Run. Get away. But what do they do? Play dreid a little bit. Right? Cheshbon haseichel. They were zochu. They end up meriting the idea of the pach shemen from the fact that they didn't even have to do in the first place. Shall pi din efshar oyel lahadli gam shemen tamei. Hey masu mashinir la ma'ilu mikuchuseim v'lachem zochu l'midah gedusha shasiyata d'shmaya v'nisim neis chanukah mor lanu she'ein makom liyish v'makom shinir madrachem chasumu mugbal m'derech hateva. Anytime you see something that's closed off m'derech hateva, that doesn't mean a person can't go and do it. Amit v'yoser kiyvon she'ein. He says in the piece earlier, he says the whole reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in situations where we'll feel yish is in order to get this point and to realize that those moments when you feel yish, now is the time to get crack and lack and that there's no tamak and to start moving it and start pushing and start going further. And this is the idea when a person who lives with this concept of ein breira and starts to realize with this idea about this, it's so beautiful. And this is what happens. The Shmos Mechanica come and teach us idea. Ein Breira. Let's do this last, like I said, last 2 points. Recap point done. I heard from Rav Ephraim Waxman, a beautiful mashal. Ephraim actually gives a mashal about a fellow who is being Ayeshoyeg Milo Yire. But he goes and he says an amazing mashal about a fox, and the fox is being chased. Fox being chased, and he starts running, and he gets ahead, and he runs and runs through the forest, and he's running through. There's all this like wreckage, and he comes to this wall, and he tries to jump. He can't jump. He's just too exhausted. He sees them coming with the horses and with the dogs after him, and he goes. He just decides, I'll play dead. So he drops to the floor and he pretends like he's dead. I always picture in my head his heart going boom, 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 you know, because he's ran like crazy. But he's able to do the thing where he slows his heart. He just thinks about it, and he just relaxes, and he does this whole thing. And okay, what happens? They get to him, and there he is. They're like, oh, he must have died of exhaustion. So they come along. He wasn't able to jump over the fence. He's stuck there. One guy goes, oh, look at that. You know that the tail of a fox, that's a biggie. I'm going to take this tail. So he takes out this thing. He's thinking, oh, no, right? And they go, and he thought other things, but they go and they, and he's like, oh, my dear. And they go ahead and they chop off his tail. And he grimaces, but he holds it in, doesn't even anything. Then the other one goes, I heard that a tooth of a fox tooth is good luck. It's a skula for having other fox teeth at one point. So he goes ahead and he takes a plier and he rips at the tooth, and he's like, inwardly he goes, oh, outwardly he does this. Then he goes, and someone else goes, I have an idea. I know that I could sell in the market fox skin. Fox skin is worth a lot of money. I'll just skin the fox. And when he hears that, the fox looks at him and goes, oh, no, you didn't. And he jumps over the fence. The fox wasn't able to jump over the ain. When you have no choice, what happens? You jump. I think the Rambam brings this down also. When we go to war, you're never supposed to close off your enemies from four sides. You're supposed to leave them in an exit route. Why would you do that? Close them off. Answer is, because if you leave an exit route, what ends up happening is a person will think, okay, I could run, I'll stay, I'll run. But if you close them off, they got nothing left to do but to fight. And then what happens? They will find kochos that they never knew that they had. And they'll open up the doors to see after the Shmaya to be able to overcome. It was, I think we remember we discussed it in the 1500s. There was a certain fellow, I heard this from Charlie Arari. I saw this in one of his things. Anyone knows who he is? You know, drop your bags and jump. And he said one of the things he says is that there was a general, I forgot the name, but you don't know either. So it was Cordoza III in 1528. And what happened, I don't know where it was. And what happens is when they were invading a certain country, they took a bridge, they went over this bridge, and then what they did is they burnt the bridge. The general of their army burnt their own escape route, their only escape route. And he said, gentlemen, now we got nothing left. We got to fight to the death. And they ended up winning because of it. In Charlie's example, he said, if you want to lose weight and you have a pair of pants that's bigger, throw out those pair of pants. So you're stuck. You have to wear the smaller pair. And I'm very uncomfortable since that. Especially after Hanukkah. But I can tell you, my friends, that's the idea. When a person goes ahead and says, Ein Breira, there's nothing I can do. When it comes to the idea of fighting against the Yitzhar, when it comes to the idea of years, when it comes to the idea, we got to go to fight, we got to understand this idea. Okay, let's recap the whole thing, and we'll end off with one story, then we're done. Here we go. So we start in the beginning, and said, the God of the comes to give him a base, tells the idea, whatever person goes ahead and says, been better to have been born, not to have been born. It would have been better to have been born. If so, Solomon says, obviously it's good for us, and everything that comes to is good. So what does it mean? What was my chokes? My chokes? Can you actually have an understanding? And I comes to Bisham and says, nope. He still says, yes. What are the chances of him to become? No. Why? Because they ain't brave. They come to live in a life. And we go realize the fact that if he did overcome years. Yeah, look at Avraham Avinu. If he would have lived the life of Seichel, he would have maybe not even jumped in the fire. But he says, I got to do. He thinks he's going to die. He lives. Haran lives the life of Seichel. What happens? He goes in, he dies. First, have to realize the concept. Realize, oh, it comes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he was saved. The arm of his idea above our kochos. Living above, David HaMelech comes along and says, "Hashira LaHashem," and realize the idea. What happened? Kolisha. The other thing, but now we can do. Right. So what happens? Go to real. In fact, he's like, "What am I going to do?" But I know we're going to get it tomorrow. I guess I'll be a little excited. No, it's amazing. Right, come to realize the fact of what's happening. I realize I'm going to get it. And what happens? I have the joy even right now because Kikum Allah Hashira LaHashem. I don't know what's. I don't understand the cheshbon. This doesn't make any sense. But I know Hashem that you're the man. I'm not the man, but you get the idea that you're Hashem. In which case, you're going to take care of business. You take care of business. We're all good. And then my friend is sort of this Chanukah when a person goes to realize the deal of living in the idea of the soul of a person is realizing it makes no sense, but I got to embrace it. I got to fight. If a person goes in the fight, all of a sudden they can overcome this idea. Realize the fact of the facts is able to jump over the idea because a person is going to be stuck. Never leave a person with no escape route because a person has no escape route. What happens? You're going to have the adrenaline of Siyata Deshmaya. And what happens is going to rock you like no one business. Make sure you stay able to live a fact. I'm doing over a person with Ratzon. Obviously, there's Ratzon Hashem. Is the kind of person going over there. If through the equation, what's happening is if a tzaddik comes to realize this, we've got to make a swear to ourselves that we have no choice, but we have to learn. We have no choice, but we have to learn this Masechta. We have to finish this idea. We have to make a scene. And we have to understand what's going on. We have to get to the depth of the story. And then God willing, when a person does that and they realize this idea, they wake up, they're not in the mood, it doesn't matter. You wake up and say, I have no choice. And if you wake up and say, I have no choice, I got to do it anyway, then you actually start doing it, then you get tremendous siyata deshmaya to reach levels that you never could have imagined. Okay, people, I want to end off with this one last story. One last story. Have you heard this one before? You know the routine by now? Don't be that guy. The story goes like this. This is actually very much connected again to what we just, this beautiful holiday which we just finished. That, but I think it works nicely with where we're headed right now. This terrible, darling, the lowering, horrible summer in the winter. There's a story about the Blues of a Rebbe. The Blues of a Rebbe was in the camps. And when he was in the camps, the first night of Hanukkah, there was a bunch of inmates, that were fortunately, a bunch of Yidden, that was able to go ahead and gather a little bit of oil, a wick, and they got it from like, you know, squeeze it out of whatever oil branch. And, you know, they got the wick from a wick branch. And they were able to go ahead and bring together. They came together to go ahead and light Hanukkah. Now, Blues of a Rebbe took the candles and he lit the fire and he makes the first bracha. And the first one he says, La Hadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah. Everyone says Amen. Everyone says Amen. And then he pauses. And then he says, Shehechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Shehechiyanu, that you gave us life. V'kiyamanu, you sustained us. V'giyanu lazman hazeh. We've got to this time. This auspicious, beautiful time. Thank you, Hashem, for bringing us to this time. And there was someone standing there after we just finished saying that bracha. And he looks at him and says, with all due respect, Rebbe, what are you talking about? The bracha of Shehechiyanu? How could you be so brazen? How could you say such a bracha? Shehechiyanu, look around. There's literally dead bodies here. We're basically dying. And you make the bracha of Shehechiyanu. And he says back to him, he says, you know, that's why I paused. I wasn't sure. I didn't know if I should make the bracha or not. But then a second moment, I took a second, and I looked around, and I realized, wait a minute, look where we are. And even though we're in the darkest, lowest place, all of you decided to come to fight to be able to find Hanukkah licht and to light in the camps on the first night. Shehechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. My friends, although it's said in a joking way and there should be understanding, yes, it is the quote-unquote dark and whatever. Realize, Teira is amazing. Okay, so it's the winter's man, so it gets dark earlier. Yeah. And it's true that it's a longer zman than it's straight. That doesn't mean that it has to be difficult. What that means is that we push ourselves and we realize it ain't braver. When a person does that, then we can go ahead, hopefully right now, be able to go ahead and start pushing with the fervor. Take the lights of all of Hanukkah that we have until now to light up this whole idea of this rest of the zman that we're going to be going through. And God willing, if we're able to do that, then l'mafreya, we can right now say, Shechiyonu v'kiyamanu v'giyonu zman hazeh. Hazaka b'ruch, thank you so much. I'm going to have a bye.